Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Menachas Daf Mem Zayin. Don't forget to click on the daf option in order to view a marked daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. As we turn to the top of Daf Mem Zayin, we notice in the outside margin a statement called Nosei. You notice there's written in the outside margin a topic heading that we entitle Nosei, and under that we've written Kedushas Shtei Halechem. Ma mevion likedushason. We're talking about the two loaves of bread that are brought on the holiday of Shavuos, along with the kivsei atzeres, two sheep that are slaughtered as a korban shlomim. Of course, in addition to other korbanos that are brought on Shavuos, as we've discussed in previous sugyas. The issue here is what creates the sanctity of the shtei halechem that ultimately would lead to their being eaten by the Kohanim. It is true that when something is brought to the Beis HaMikdash, it receives an initial sanctity, which we can call a Kedushas Domim. That level of sanctity is something that actually lends itself to redemption. However, there's a higher level of sanctity, a sanctity known as Kedushas HaGuf. We are interested right now in determining what is it that brings the two loaves to that level of sanctity. So the first opinion that we will see is the opinion of Rebbe, and we've written in our introductory note, Aleph, Shchitas Kivsei Ha'atzeres. That's according to Rebbe. According to Rebbe Elazar Reb Shimon, so we've written Beis, Bo'ino Nami, in addition to the slaughtering of the Kivsei Atzeres that Rebbe mentioned, Rebbe Elazar Reb Shimon says that you need also Zrikas Domam, according to Rebbe Elazar Reb Shimon. Let us now turn to the Gemara. The Gemara opens up with a Tanaic source, and that's readily visible with our Gemara markings. As you can see, several lines of Gemara, starting from the top line, are in a frame. In our marking system, we attempt to frame off all those quotes that are found in the Gemara that are from Tanaic literature. So our Gemara begins at the top. Tana Rabbanan, Kivsei Atzeres, Ein Mekachin Es Halechem Elo B'Shchita. The Kivsei Atzeres create the Kedushas Halechem, the Kedusha of the Shtei Halechem that we referred to before, the Kedushas Aguf, that would eventually lead to their being eaten by the Kohanim. According to what we just read, this is accomplished through Shchita, through the slaughtering of the Kivsei Atzeres. Ketzad. The Brisa goes on to give three different scenarios and what results. Shachton Lishmon, Vizorak Domon Shelo, Vizorak Domon Lishmon. Let us, if they were slaughtered, the Kivsei Atzeres, the two sheep that are brought on Shavuos, Atzeres being a name for the holiday of Shavuos, if they were slaughtered Lishmon, with the proper intention in mind, Vizorak Domon Lishmon, and the blood of these animals was applied to the altar with the proper intention, Kidei Shalechem, then the bread is officially sanctified, and in this case it's sanctified and will be allowed to be eaten. A second scenario, Shochtan Shaloi Lishmon, Vizorak Domon Shaloi Lishmon. Let us say they were slaughtered without proper intent, they were slaughtered with something else in mind, and the blood was sprinkled with something else in mind, other than what they are designed for, Lo Kidei Shalechem. So the bread is not sanctified, and what this means is that if you would attempt to redeem it, it would be redeemed as Kedushas Domim, characteristic of anything that's dedicated to the temple fund. However, it would not have Kedushas Aguf. The truth is that, generally speaking, things that have Kedushas Aguf under normal circumstances are not redeemable. Number three, Shochton Lishmon Vizorak Domon Shalo Lishmon. Here we have an inconsistency. Here the animals were slaughtered with the proper intention. However, there was something lacking with regard to the sprinkling of the blood. The blood was not sprinkled on the altar with the correct intention. In other words, when the Zrikas Adam was done, something else was in mind. Halechem kodosh v'eino kodosh, divrei Rebbe. This expression will be the subject of the Gemara's discussion later on. But for the time being, we see that the bread is on its has sanctity, on the other hand, does not. That's as far as a literal translation is concerned. Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon Omer le'olam eino kodosh. There, according to Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon, there is no kedusha. Different than that which Rebbe said. Rebbe said it is kadosh, but not kadosh. Here, Rebbe Elazar Shimon says there is no kedusha ad sheyishchot lishmon v'yizrok daman lishmon. He says that the bread does not gain its ultimate level of sanctity until everything is done properly. Not only the shechita, but also the zrikas hadam. So, as we mentioned in our introductory remark, according to Rebbe Elazar Shimon, the shechita itself is not sufficient to bring the bread to its ultimate high level of sanctity. The Gemara now goes back and forth with the different opinions, the two opinions we just saw. What are their sources, their respective sources, and what does the other opinion do with the former's source? My taimo de Rebbe. What is the basis for Rebbe saying that shechita lishma is mekadesh the lechem? That slaughtering with proper intention is sufficient to bestow the high level of kedusha, of kedushas haguf, to the lechem. The dichtiv, the pasuk says. Now, the truth is that this pasuk is from a different context. It's dealing with the nazir. However, it's worth noting that the nazir brings also a korban shlomim, and he brings breads together with his korbanos. The pasuk says, "V'sho'ayil yaseh zevach shlomim l'ashem al sal hamatzos." L'meimra, this tells us the shechita mikatsha, the slaughtering, because the word zevach, according to Rebbe's understanding, zevach means the slaughtering of the shlomim al sal hamatzos. That means the basket containing the baked goods, the matzos being the baked goods, the breads, if you will. Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon, who says you require zrika as well, ya'aseh. In the pasuk we just read, it's the word ya'aseh appeared, and from this we learn, ad she'aseh kol asiyosav, until all of the required actions are performed. That means not only the shechita, but the zrika as well. So Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon's source is quite clear, the word ya'aseh. The Rebbe Nami Hoksiv Yaseh. So the Gemara turns around and asks, well, doesn't it say Yaseh as far as Rebbe is concerned? What does he say about that? After all, Rebbe did not require all of the necessary steps to be performed in order to achieve Kedusha. The Gemara answers, Iksiv, had the Pusik been worded Zevach Yaseh, Kedeko Amris, then I would have agreed with you. Because by saying zevach yaseh, that means there is the zevicha. The zevicha is the slaughtering. And then yaseh, there are additional actions, which would have led me to think that you need to have all of the actions done. However, hashto dechtiv yaseh zevach, this order of words indicates bema yaseh, what is the action that is needed to bring the shtei halechem to their sanctity, bezevicha. In other words, slaughtering alone will bring the shtei alechem, if the zvicha is done with a proper intention, with a machsheves lishma, it will, the shtei alechem, the loaves, that will become sanctified. V'Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon hoksiv zevach. Well, according to Rebbe Elazar Shimon, what does he do with the word zevach? Remember, he didn't place emphasis on zvicha, slaughtering alone. The Gemara answers, "Hahu miboy alei l'chabiyu Yochanan." Rabbi Elazar Rebbe Shimon needs it for the teaching made popular by Rabbi Yochanan. The Amar Rabbi Yochanan, "Hakol moidim." Everyone agrees, even Rabbi Elazar Rebbe Shimon, "Shitzorach shiye lechem b'shas shchita." That when the slaughtering takes place, the lechem must be present. that even Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon will agree upon. The Rashi points out, and if you have a situation where the bread was not around b'shas chita, and it was prepared only in time for the zrika, even Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon will agree that the zrika is not sufficient for creating the kedusha level that we are discussing, namely the ultimate kedushas shtei halechem, which is a higher level of kedusha than the kedushas domen that it originally has when it's brought to the Beis Hamikdash. Notice in the to the immediate left hand side of the Gemara text there is an arrow. This arrow is to be aligned with an arrow that you find on the upper part of the page. If you do that, you'll notice where the following comes from. The Gemara asks, "My kodosh v'eino kodosh." This was a comment made by Rebbe in the Tanaic source above regarding the case of shochton lishmon v'zarag domon shalo lishmon. Rebbe says that that results in the bread becoming kodosh v'eino kodosh, seeming contradiction in terms almost. The Gemara at this point will look into what is meant by Rebbe's comment. Before we go further in the Gemara, your eye probably picked up on the fact that we have some houses that appear, and in our Nosei Mivneh heading in the outside margin, we have, in addition to a topic heading, we've combined it with a structural note. The word Mivneh indicates structural note, so you'll notice we feature a house form, and Abaye and Rava's names appear, and they will appear in the houses that we have marked. They are Chokim B'mahu Pirusho Shel Kodosh V'eno Kodosh. They have a discussion or controversy within the opinion of Rebbe as to what Kodosh V'eno Kodosh means. De'ka'omar Rebbe B'shochton Kivsei Atzeres Lishmom V'zorag Domon Shelo Lishmom. In the case that we spoke about, that they were slaughtered, the Kivsei Atzeres were slaughtered with proper intention, and there was the sprinkling of their blood was done Shelo Lishmom with improper intention. V'ka'omar Rebbe D'halechem Kodosh V'eno Kodosh. And Rebbe tells us that the bread is Kodosh V'eno Kodosh, so we want to know what that means. Turning to the Gemara, after asking what does this mean, Abaye Omar, Abaye is the first name in a house, Abaye Omar Kodosh, V'eino Gomor. It's sanctified, but not completely. Rava Omar Kodosh, V'eino Nitar. It's Kodosh Gomor, completely Kodosh, however, it's not Nitar, it's not allowed to be eaten by the Kohanim. In other words, if the Zrikas Adan Dam was done Shelo Lishmo, it doesn't enable the bread to be allowed to the Kohanim. My Binayu, what is the difference between Abaye and Rava? After all, and Rashi explains, according to Abaye, who said Kodosh Ve'eno Gomor, it's clear that it's not Nitar LeKohanim. If something is not completely sanctified, it hasn't reached the level of allowance to the Kohanim. So Rava and Abaye seem to be saying the same thing, just using different expressions. The Gemara answers, there is a difference. Iko binayu, lemitfas pidyonoi. If one were attempt to redeem the breads after the this took place, after there was a shechita, Lishmoi and Azrika Shelo Lishmoi. As we go on in the Gemara, we must emphasize that we are going to be following the Girsa Shnia of Rashi, the second version that Rashi has of our Gemara. This will be also clearly explained if you note the Rashi on the last of the narrow lines. We have a star position there in order for you to be able to see where we are taking our information from. So first let's read the Gemara. According to Abaye, who termed it Kadosh V'eino Gomor, there is Kedusha, but it's not complete. So it hasn't reached the high level of Kedushas Aguf that we spoke about earlier. It's left at the Kedushas Domin level. As a result of that, the Gemara says, L'Abaye Tofis Pidyonoi. There is a Pidyon possibility, which is characteristic of things that have the Kedushas Domin level, which is a lower level of sanctity. L'Rava Loi Tofis Pidyono. According to Rava, who said, it is Kadosh Gomor, completely kadosh. That means it then reaches the kedushas haguf level of sanctity, and as we said before, things that enjoy or achieve that level of sanctity are not subject to redemption anymore. Bishlama l'rova, things will work out well according to Rava that said that according to Rebbe, there is no pidyon. Hainu de'ika bein Rebbe l'Rebbe Elazar b'Rebbe Shimon. Then we can see a clear difference between the Tanoim in the above-mentioned source, where, according to Rebbe, as Rava explains, there is no redemption. According to Rebbe Elazar b'Rebbe Shimon, given the same case where there was a shechita lishmo and a zrika shaloi lishmoi, he said it's not kadosh. As a result of it being not kadosh, there is a redemption possibility. There's pidyon. Elo la'abaye. When we speak about redemption before going any further, what we are talking about is setting aside money and transferring the sanctity that's upon the breads and transferring it to the money. And the money then would have this, would be considered sanctified with all that, with all the laws that accompany that which has such a definition. Fine. That's according to Rava. Elo la'abaye, mai iko bein Rebbe, there was a Shimon. According to Abaye's version of Rebbe, Abaye's version of Rebbe said that there is, in fact, there is a pidyon possibility. Well, according to Rebbe Elazar b'Rebbe Shimon, there is also a pidyon possibility. It's very clear that that's what he holds. He said in the original source, it's l'olameinu kadosh, ad shishchot lishma zirka dam l'shamayim. And we're talking about a case where zirka zam was done shaloi lishmoi. So according to Rebbe Elazar b'Rebbe Shimon, there's also pidyon. So what's the difference between Rebbe and Rebbe Elazar b'Rebbe Shimon according to Abaye? The Gemara answers, ika binayu lifsuli b'yotzei. There will be a point of difference, and that is if the breads leave the their domain, will they become pusel? According to Rebbe, of course, we're within Abaye's explanation. According to Rebbe, they will have achieved a high enough level of sanctity that even though there is pidyon, nevertheless, they become susceptible to psul yose, to be rendered void as a result of leaving their domain. According to Rebbe Elazar b'Rebbe Shimon, their level of sanctity is so low because of the fact that the shechita and the zrika was done shalo lishmo, or as a result of the fact that the zrika was done shalo lishmo, according to Rebbe Elazar b'Rebbe Shimon, they will not be subject to the psul yotze. Let's glance at the Rashi, the lower part of the page. Iko b'nayo lifsuli b'yotze. L'Rebbe mifsal b'yotze. Im yotza, if the breads left the domain, lo yehe kosher l'shchalav kvasim achirim. It won't be allowed to be to slaughter using those breads, using to slaughter other sheep, other the replacement kivsei atzeres. The Rebbe Elazar, lo mifsal b'yotze. The breads have not become pasul. Shelo yordo lo kedushas haguf elo kedushas damim. As we mentioned a few times already, the breads, according to Rebbe Elazar Shimon, being that the zrika was not done properly, they never achieved any form of kedushas haguf. They are merely kedushas damim. The ein yotze posel ba uksherin l'shelo kvasim achirim. And as a result of them having the lower level of sanctity of Kedushas Damim, the fact that they left their domain, they may have been taken outside of the Beis HaMikdash, that does not ruin them, according to Rebbe Elazar b'Rebbe Shimon. Turning back to the Gemara has a question. We can see a new geometric form. In this case, it's a house with a colored-in tip. we also will notice that there's a long question marking that accompanies this piece of Gemara. The length of the question is identified by the long question marking to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. You'll notice a shin that's encircled with a vertical dashed line, and this dashed line continues down the first few lines of Omid Beis, indicating that this is a rather long question. We will encounter in the text a bracketed section for which will be skipped initially in order to help us with a smooth reading of the Gemara. And of course, in our characteristic Gemara markings style, we will go over the entire section that's in the brackets as well. Before going further, though, in the Gemara, let's take advantage of our Nosei Mivne heading in the outside margin. So you'll see we have a house featured with a colored end tip, and we're calling it Ma'akav. Ma'akav is an attempt to keep track of a give-and-take style that is characteristic of so many sugyas of the Shas. With the markings, one is enabled to keep track and not lose track of where one is holding. Is one in the middle of a question, or is one reading an answer? So this is a ma'akav. Ma'akav, an attempt to keep track. Then we continue. Let's read the note. She'elas Rav Shmuel b'Rav Yitzchok. The Gemara will deal with Rav Shmuel's question. Kivsei atzeres she'shochton lishmon v'zorak domon shelo lishmon. The sheep that are brought on Shavuos that were slaughtered with proper intention. However, the Zrikas Adam was done with improper intention. Something, the Kohen had something else in mind while doing the Zrikas Adam. Oisei halechem mahu ba'achila. Can the breads be eaten? As we pointed out earlier, we have a long question marking, and let's now start the Gemara, bearing in mind that with the house facing up, those represent questions. We will then notice houses with the point facing down. Eventually, we'll have to get to that, and that will appear after the long question, obviously, because with the house facing up, we're in a question mode. But on Amud Beis, you'll notice at the line where the long question ends, there is an inverted house marking with its colored end tip pointing downwards, which will be a response. Let us take a look now at the note that we have in the outside margin that features this inverted house. Nisyonos, the inverted house in this sugya will be, in this case we said, a response to the question, but a response to a question doesn't necessarily mean an answer to the question. In this case, there's nisyonos laharos de'ein bosis la'she'ela. There will be attempts on the part of the Gemara to show that there's no basis for the question. So we will attempt to navigate the Gemara following this back and forth style using these markings. So starting the question, the Gemara, Bomine Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchok Me Rav Chiyo Bar Abo. Rav Chiyo was presented Rav Shmuel's question. Rav Shmuel asked Rav Chiyo, Kivsei Atzeres Sheshochton Lishmon Vezorak Domon Shaloi Lishmon. The Kivsei Atzeres, the Shavuos sheep, were slaughtered with proper intention. However, the sprinkling of the blood was done on the altar without proper intention. Oisei halechem mahu be'achila. Can these breads be eaten? At this point, we have a very, very long bracketed section. The length of the brackets is indicated by the bracket length indicator, a vertical dash dotted line that in this case you'll find to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. This long marking or long bracket indicator shows you that the brackets continue till Amud Beis, five lines from the top. If we momentarily skip till the point after the brackets, the Gemara, you'll notice the first word that appears there after the brackets is my. My meaning, what about the eating of the breads? Do you say, and it's presented in an Odilma fashion. In other words, there are two sides to the analysis. Midizrikas pigol, kava lelechem bepigol beyotze kibosar. Do we say, from the result of the discussion of the Gemara that we have not learned yet, but we will see, according to Rabbi Akiva in the Gemara that's in the brackets, we see that according to Rabbi Akiva, the sprinkling of the blood done with a pigel intention causes the bread to become pigel even in a yotze situation, even when it leaves the domain kibosar, just like bosar. So just like we see this, we'll call this imperfect zrika having an effect. So zrikas shelo lishmona mishariya lelechem, just like the zrikas pigel has an effect on establishing the bread to becoming pigel, so too it could be that a zrika shelo lishma, which is another type of imperfect zrika, can have an effect on the bread, on making it allowed to be eaten. Or possibly, it's true that we say that an imperfect zrika can have an effect, but that's provided the effect is of a stringent nature. Namely, the korban is labeled pigol, is thereby rendered unfit. However, lekula, to enable the bread to be eaten as a result of an imperfect zrika, that far we won't go. We won't allow the bread to be eaten. That is the question. However, in order to understand what the Gemara was referring to when it posed the two sides of the question and it mentioned zrikas pigol, Koveya Lechem Bepigol, we have to learn the entire enclosed section. So we saw that Rav Shmuel asked Rav Chiya a question concerning a shechita that was done properly with an improper zrika. Within the bracketed section, the Gemara will be trying to figure out according to whom is he raising the question. This will appear in several stages. In other words, in order to answer this question, we will go through a few stages as are illustrated by triangles with colored in tips. These are explained in the outside margin where you'll notice the triangle with the colored in tip, and we've noted besoch hasogrim. This marking is found in the Gemara brackets. Shlavim, stages, levarer, to investigate. Aliva deman rishmuel shol shelos, according to whom, according to which Tanaic authority, or based on whom, is Rav Shmuel raising the question. So let us see the Gemara, starting with the brackets. Aliba deman, according to whom is Rav Shmuel raising his question? E aliba de Rebbe Elazar ben Shimon, if according to the Tana, Rebbe Elazar ben Shimon, whom we've seen earlier, ha'omar, but he's already said, zrika hi de mekatsha, that you need to have a proper zrika in order to afford the bread its kedusha status. And in this case, the bread does not receive its kedusha, and as a result of it not receiving its high-level kedusha, certainly it will be usur to be eaten. It hasn't reached a point at which you get an allowance to eat it. E aliba the Rebbe. And if the question of Rav Shmuel is based on the Tano Rebbe, nevertheless, that too cannot be. Bein Abaye, bein lo Rava, either through Abaye or Rava's analysis of a Rebbe's Shita, Kadosh v'eino nitar hu, it may be sanctified, but it's not allowed to be eaten. So if you're asking a question concerning the possibility of the breads being eaten, you must have some other Tana in mind. Elo alibo de hai Tana. Rather, according to the following opinion or authority. The Tani Avod Rav Yirmiyah Bar Abba. The father of Rav Yirmiyah presents the following Tanaic source. Ultimately, we'll be focusing on Rabbi Akiva's opinion, and we'll let the Gemara develop the theme. Before reading the Gemara itself, though, we have a tat nosei that accompanies this section. We've written it a bit lower down on the page. Tat nosei, Shtei halechem shiyotsu, the two loaves that are brought on Shavuos that left the Azora of the Beis Hamikdash, the temple courtyard, bein shechita lizrika, namely after the slaughtering of the sheep was done, the prior to the sprinkling of the blood, the breads were taken out of the Azora. Vezorak domon shokvosim b'machsheves pigol. The assumption right now, this will change in the continuation of the Gemara later, but the assumption right now is that the breads are not in the Azara. He then goes ahead and does the sprinkling of the blood with a machsheves pigol. That means while he's sprinkling the blood of the Kivsei Atzeres, he has an intention concerning the eating at the wrong time. Machloikis Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Akiva im halechem mefugol. There will be a Tanaic controversy whether a machsheves pigol under these circumstances takes effect, has any effect. Later, we'll have to tie together a number of different ideas in order to develop the basis of what the Gemara is trying to say, but for right now, let's go on. So we have a Tanaic source that says, Shtei halechem shiyotsu bein shchita lizrika. The breads left the Azara between the slaughtering and the sprinkling. Vezorak domon shokvosim chutz lizmanon. And the blood of the Kivsei Atzeres were sprinkled with a machsheves chutz lizmanon, a thought to eat beyond the correct time, the allowed time. Rebbe Elazar Omer, Ein Balechem Mishum Pigol. Nothing, the bread is not affected. Rebbe Yekiva Omer, Yesh Balechem Mishum Pigol. According to Rebbe Yekiva, the bread is affected. Omer Rav Sheshes, Hani Tanoi. Rebbe Elazar and Rebbe Yekiva that we just saw in this source, Kerebi Svira Lehu. We're laying down a certain premise, and that is that they both agree in principle with Rebbe's teaching. We have a little arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. This is to be aligned with an arrow also above to the right-hand side of the Gemara text, pointing to an expression where it says the Shechita Mikatsha. So the Gemara is pointing out over here, they hold like Rebbe, the Omar Shechita Mikatsha. This is the Rebbe that was mentioned above, that the slaughtering of the sheep bestows the Kedusha Saguf unto the Shtei Halechem, this high level of Kedusha. Being that something has a high level of Kedusha, it becomes something that may be susceptible to the psul yotze, to leaving, or we say susceptible or sensitive to the psul yotze. So once we establish that Rebbe Elazar and Akiva hold like Rebbe that shchita is mekadesh, as a result of that, there is room to talk about a psul yotze mihu. Rebbe Eliezer letamei. Rebbe Eliezer, who said that the lechem does not become pigol, is consistent with what he has said elsewhere. D'yomer ein zrika me'eles liyotze. Zrika is ineffective. Zrika meaning, which is in a later stage, it's after the shechita. The zrika that's done on something that is yotze, that left the azara prematurely, or shouldn't leave at all, zrika has no effect. Therefore, since the bread left the azara after the shechita, the zrika, which is the action that ultimately establishes pigol, in this case cannot establish pigol because the bread experienced yotze, leaving the azara. Rabbi Kiva, Latame Rabbi Kiva, who said that there is pigol upon this bread, he is consistent with his reasoning or with his opinion, Diamar Zrika Maeles Liyotse, that Zrika does have an effect, even though something was yotze, yotze meaning leaving the domain. Disnan, and here is the background for what we just spoke about. This source lasts about four lines, you can see four or five lines, all in a frame. Emure kochim kalim, shiyotsu lifnei zrikas domim. The innards of the low-level sanctity sacrifices, animal sacrifices. maybe a word of introduction is in order here. Kodshim Kalim, in general, does not carry with it the penalty of Me'ila. That's a situation where one benefits personally, personal benefits, derives personal benefit from a sacrifice. He, at times, is said to be in violation of Me'ila. In the case of Kodshim Kalim, there is no Me'ila violation associated with them. There is, however, a point at which Mi'ilah does become relevant to Kodshim Kalim, and that's after the Kodshim Kalim are slaughtered, the innards that are ultimately are placed on the Mizbeach, the innards of the Kodshim Kalim, do gain a susceptibility to Mi'ilah. So Mi'ilah by Kodshim Kalim is a possibility only if you're talking about their innards. So the source says, Emurei Kodshim Kalim, Shiyotsu Lifnei Zrikas Domim. Here you have the innards of the Kodshim Kalim that left the Azora prior to the sprinkling of the blood of the Kodshim Kalim. Rebbe Lezer Omer, Ein Moyalin Bohen, V'ein Chayavun Aleihen Mishum Pigul V'noisar V'tomei. Ein Moalin Behen means that they will not enter the realm of Mi'ilah to begin with, and that's because they were outside the Hazorah before the Zrikas Adam, so they don't enter the realm of Mi'ilah. Ordinarily, let's just say again what we said earlier, ordinarily with Kodshim Kalim, once they are slaughtered and Zrikas Adam is done, the innards are expected to be put on the Mizbeach and offered up in the fire. At that point, prior to their being put into the fire, they gain a new status, meaning they can subject someone to a Me'ilah penalty. Even though, as part of the animal itself, while it was alive and sanctified as a Kodshim Kalim, like a Korban Shlomim, the innards of that Korban did not carry with it a potential penalty of Me'ilah, when they are slaughtered and the blood is sprinkled, those innards become subject to a Me'ilah penalty. We are told here, according to Rebbe Lezer, if they left before the Zrikas Adam, when the Zrikas Adam is done, unlike the standard approach which creates Me'ilah on the innards of these Kodshim Kalim, in the case that the innards left the Azara, the Zrika will not be effective in bringing it to the Me'ilah status. And furthermore, there would be no violation of Pigol, Noisar, or Tomei with regard to such innards, being that they left before Zrika's Hadam. So the penalties associated with Pigol, which is something slaughtered with an intention of eating the meat beyond its right time, or nosar, some meat that's left over, and tome, ritual impurity, these will not be subject to the innards that had left before Zrikas Adam. Rebbe Kiva Omer, Moalin Bohen, V'chayoven Olam Mishum Pigol, V'noisar V'tomei. According to Rebbe Kiva, he doesn't seem to be disturbed by the fact that the innards are outside when the Zrikas Hadam is taking place. So with that in mind, we now focus on Shitas Rebbe Kiva. Rebbe Kiva was not upset, or wasn't fazed by the fact that the innards were outside at the time of Zrikas Hadam. My, what should we say about the breads that had left the Azora before the Zrikas Hadam took place? Let's just go over that again, just by turning back to Omid Aleph and noticing the beginning of the long question. Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchok had asked of Rav Chia, the Kivsi Atzeres that were slaughtered with proper mindset, proper intention, and the Zrikas Hadam was done Shelo Lishma, what is the story with the bread? Can the bread be eaten? So now we ask the question again with more detail. My, mi dezrikas pigol kava lelechem bepigol biyotze kibosar? Should we say, according to Rabbi Kiva, we're focusing on his shita that we just learned, from the fact that the zrikas pigol, where the blood is sprinkled with an intention of eating the korban beyond its right time. It's kovel lechem bepigel biyotzei kibosar. This we must tie this back in to the source that we saw at the bottom of Amud Aleph. At that point, we saw lechem that was yotzei between shechita and zrika, and we saw that Rabbi Kiva said yesh balechem mishum pigel, that even though the bread at the time of the zrika sadam, the bread is outside the azara. Nevertheless, if when that blood of the Kivset Seris is sprinkled with the intention of eating at the wrong time or beyond the Korban's time, the bread becomes Pigel. So do we say that just like Zrikas Pigel is Kivet Alechem to be Pigel, in the case of Yotze, just like the case of Bosar, this, by the way, we saw at the in the upper source over here, in the case of the Emuri Kodshim Kalim that left before Zrikas Adam, Rabbi Kiva says that one could become Chayov Mishum Pigel when the Zrikas Adam is done on that Korban, even though the Emurim are outside the Azara. So by the fact that Zrikas Pigel is Kovea, the lechem has an effect. It has an effect on the bread. It establishes the bread to becoming pigel. Well, zrika shelo lishma nami. So to another imperfect type of zrika, zrika done with a non-lishma, a non-focused intent, nami sharyo le lechem. That maybe is matir the bread. And that was the original question that Rav Shmuel had posed to Rabbi Chia regarding the Kivsei Atzeres, whose blood was sprinkled shelo lishmo. Oy dilma lechum ramino lekula lo amino, or possibly when we speak about the power of an imperfect type of zrika, that might be true only when the result is a chumra, like establishing something to be in violation of pigel. However, lekula, to say the bread shall be allowed to be eaten as a result of a zrika shelo lishma, that far we will not go. At this point, you can see the house form with the colored in tip flips over. We've called this a question. Essentially, Rav Papa asks, he asks on the assumption of our presentation. We had a long she'ela, a long question, an investigative question, as opposed to the raising of a difficulty. Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchok had simply asked, what is the story with regard to the eating of the bread? And we set up the whole question as based on Rabbi Akiva's position, and we said according to Rabbi Akiva's position, there is room for asking this question. And that was all on the assumption that we were dealing with an imperfect type of blood sprinkling, which we saw Rabbi Akiva to say to be nevertheless effective. And we were assuming that we were talking about a case of the breads outside the Azara when the imperfect sprinkling was taking place. And if you set up everything like that, then in fact we are talking about a very imperfect kind of sprinkling. However, if we change the assumption or the basis, if we change the assumption of the question, we change the assumption of what Rabbi Akiva was talking about in the first place, then there may be no basis for the question. Let's say that again. The question raised by Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchok is a legitimate question if you assume to understand Rabbi Akiva as we explained previously. However, if you change the understanding of Rabbi Akiva, then we may slip out the basis on which the whole question is raised. So let's now read this in the Gemara. Maskif lo Rav Papa. And we did point out that this is accompanied by a long question marking. This is basically a question on the She'ela. We're questioning how could you raise the question in the first place. Maskif lo Rav Papa, umimai dechi isnu avroi pligi. Who is to say that the machloikis, Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer, that was featured on the bottom of Mem Zayin Amud Aleph, is talking about breads that are outside of the Azorah? It's true that it said, Halechem Shiyotsu. Yotsu means they left the Azorah, but who says that they remained outside the Azorah while the sprinkling was taking place? If we glance at the Rashi, a few lines down from here in the Rashi commentary, Umimai de Beisnu Lishte Halechem Ivroi, Bishaz Riko Pligi, who is to say, as we said earlier, that while the sprinkling is taking place, those breads are outside the Azorah, and Rabbi Lozer and Rabbi Kiva are arguing about that. De Temo, and if that would be the case, we would end up saying, Afilu Bizriko She'eno Hoigenes, Medami Rabbi Kiva Lalechem, Keguf HaKvosim. Rabbi Akiva still is willing to compare the bread to the actual meat, to the guf hakvosin, to the animals themselves. Dilma, Rashi goes on to say, b'de'isnehu avroi, that if the bread is outside the Azorah, dav yizriko she'eno hogenes, that's a very imperfect kind of zrika, d'kuli alma svirle lo mikba lechem bepigol. It might be that everyone will agree, even Rabbi Akiva will agree, that the bread is not established as pigul de'ein zrika me'elis liyotzei, simply because zrika is ineffective, covering something that's outside the Azorah. V'afagav de'pligi be'muri kochim kalim, even though there seems to be a machlokis between them with regard to, that mean between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Lezer regarding the innards of the kochim kalim, which was the source featured at the top of this omid, hosam ki gufei de'zevach damu, there is still grounds for thinking that the zrika would be effective in bringing it to pigul, because it's ki gufei de'zevach damu, the innards are like the same entity as the zevach itself. After all, it's organs of the meat. But when it comes to the bread, Rabbi Kiva will concede that the bread is not like the animals themselves. And with a zrika shelo lishmo, which was the subject of Rav Shmuel's opening question, Rabbi Kiva may very well hold that the zrika shelo lishmo will not matir lechem, in a very clear fashion, not matir the lechem. And if that be the case, what's he even asking about? What's Rav Shmuel asking about where the conclusion is foregone? Elo, Rabbi Kiva, Savar, Kribbles, Rabbi Shimon. This is going to be featured in the Gemara itself. It could be that Rabbi Akiva will hold not like the Gemara assumed at the bottom of Mem Zayin Amud Aleph that everyone is going within Shitas Rebbe. Not so. It could be that Rabbi Akiva holds like Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, Rashi goes on to say, Di Omar, Lo Kedeshtinu Shchita, the slaughtering is not sufficient to create sanctity, Velo Ifsol Biyotze, and therefore by leaving the Azorah it does not become posel. Hilko Havoi Zrika Hoigenes, Shein Bab Sul Acher. And since the leaving, and we're talking about, according to this question, that the machlokis concerns a case where the breads were brought back into the Azorah, so that the zrika itself is not a zrika that is problematic. It's called a zrika hoigenes, a proper zrika. And since the breads were not sanctified, according to Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, therefore they were never ruined by the Yotzei. V'lo ifsul b'yotzei, hilkoch havoi zrika hoigenes. Shein bo psul achir, hilkoch milbab lechem b'pigol. Therefore, Rabbi Kiva says, pigol can be established. U'dekavaso heicho deleko psul, v'izrik le zrika hoigenes, kagon lishmon. Mishteri lechem kamo kivosim. Avo bezrika shelo lishmon lo. But in a case of zrika that's done without the proper intention, no one would say that the bread becomes subject to eating. So if we change our assumptions, then we will in effect show that there is no basis for the question. Let's read this now inside. We're turning to the inverted house with the colored in tip facing down. Maskiflor of Papa. Umimai dechi isnu ivroi pligi. Who is to say that the machlokes in the Tanaic source at the bottom of Mem Zayin Amud Aleph spoke about a case where the bread was outside the Azora, which would have had, in fact, Rabbi Kiva acknowledging the strength of a Zrika She'eino Hogenes, an imperfect Zrika. Dilma b'di'isnu avroi kudekuleyama lo pligi di'ein Zrika me'eles liyotzei. It could very well be that if the bread is outside the Azora, everyone will agree, even Rabbi Akiva will agree, that there is that Zrika is not effective on something that's outside. It's called a Zrika She'eino Hogenes, using Rashi's term. And just like a Zrika She'eino Hogenes, everyone will agree, has no effect. Likewise, the Zrika Shelo Lishma will not matir the Lechem. So then, under what circumstances are they arguing? Ubahadur Ailinhu Pligi. Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Elazar are arguing about a case where the bread that had left the Azara was brought back into the Azara prior to the Zrikas Hadam. The Rabbi Eliezer Sov Sova, Rabbi Eliezer, who had ruled that there's no Pigol, he holds Ke Rebbe. You know why there's no Pigol? Because he holds like Rebbe Domer Shchita Mekatsha V'Ifsalu B'Yotze. The Shchita is sufficient to create the Kedusha Saguf, the high level of Kedusha regarding those breads. And as a result of their high level of Kedusha, they become sensitive to Yotze. And because they became sensitive to Yotze, when they left, even though they were brought back in, they left after the Shchita had taken place, they therefore become puzzle. And as a result of their becoming puzzle, that's why Pigel cannot set in. Pigel does not set in on something that has any other deficiency other than the incorrect intention. However, if you say that it achieved through the Shechita the high level sanctity of the Kedushas Aguf, thereby making it susceptible to the Psul Yotzei, and as a result of it becoming Posel, therefore no Pigol. The Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon. And Rabbi Akiva, on the other hand, will hold like Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Akiva, who mentioned that there is Pigol. You know why there's Pigol? It's because it did not become Posel by leaving. And therefore, when it's brought back in, you're going to be doing the Zrika, when you get around to the Zrika, on something that's not Posel, on something that's kosher. And as a result of that, it's a Zrika Hogenes. And as a result of that, Pigel can be established. So let's read that again. And it doesn't become Posel Biyotze. So as a result of that, it's not Posel, it's not unfit. It's therefore a kosher, a legitimate Zrika. That's not like the case of a Zrika Shelo Lishmoi. And as a result of that, Azrika Shelo Lishmo, according to everybody, would not bring the bread to a status whereby it would be allowed to be eaten. So what's Rav Shmuel even asking about? However, notice the house form flips up. This shows that we're going to try to reinstate the original Rav Shmuel question. Hi, my. In other words, what are you talking about? He says, "E amris bishlamo Rabbi Akiva karebi svirale." If you say like we did when we originally made our assumption that Rabbi Akiva does subscribe to Rebbe, who said shchita mekatsha, the omar shchita mekatsha lahu, then hainu de ka'omar Rabbi Akiva. Therefore, I can then understand that which Rabbi Akiva said, the Kachi Lahu Bezrika, they achieved their high level of sanctity at the point of the Shechita, Asya Zrika, Kava Lahu Bepigol. And then the Zrika comes along and establishes it as Pigol. Eloyam, it's Rabbi Shimon Svirle. If you're going to say, like we did with the inverted house marking, the Omar, Rabbi Elazar Shimon, who had said, Zvicha loy mekatsho, that Zvicha alone does not bring it to a level of Kedushas Haguf. So then, Zrikas Pigol mi mekatsho, if something was not Kadosh originally, with a Kedushas Haguf at the point of Shechita, and you're relying on the Zrika, so to speak, to bring it to Kedushas Haguf, and the Zrika is done with a Pigol intention, well, Zrika's Pigol would not bring it to the Kedusha if it wasn't sanctified originally at the Shechita. Zrika, let's read that again. Zrikas pigol mi mekatsha. V'amarav gidol amarav. Zrikas pigol. 2 points about a zrika done with a pigol intention. First of all, eino mevi'o lidei me'ila. And second of all, the eino motzi'o midei me'ila. And the Gemara goes over and explains. A zrikas pigol, that means blood sprinkled with an intention of eating the korban shelo bizmanoi. Eino mevi'o lidei me'ila be'emure kochim kalim. This is the case with regard to something like the innards of kochim kalim, which did not have a mi'ila status, and you're relying on the zrika to bring it to its mi'ila status. It won't work if it's a zrika that's done with a pigol intention. The eino motzi'o midei mi'ila, and likewise a zrika's pigol won't extricate something from its mi'ila status, bebesar koche kochim. That's when you're dealing with the meat of koche kochim. We should say, in general, when things are done properly, and you're dealing with a high-level sanctity korban, like a korban chatos, prior to the zrikas adam, it carries with it a mi'ila penalty, because of its koche kochim status. However, if the zrika that's done is a zrika's pigol, that will not be effective in removing the mi'ila status from it. So, if we saw before Rabbi Akiva speaking about the bread becoming pusel, the pigol becoming pigol, it must be that we were talking about a zrika that was done on something that was already sanctified. Well, a zrika like that could bring something to a pigol status. Well, how can you have something as being classified as already sanctified? That's only so if you say that Rabbi Kiva holds like Rebbe that says shechita was mekadesh. And that would be the case of the source on Mem Zayin Omer Aleph, where the Shechita was Mekadesh, that's according to Rebbe, and Rebbe Kiva holds like that. And then you went ahead and did the Zrika with the Machsheves Pigol, that would ruin the bread. And it was, of course, in light of that, where we spoke about a Zrika's Pigol bringing the bread to its Pigol status, Rav Shmuel was willing to ask his question, well, what about a Zrika Shelo Lishma? Just like we saw this imperfect kind of Zrika, in the case of Zrika's Pigol bringing the bread to Pigol, so too, a Zrika Shelo Lishma. Maybe it's effective in allowing the bread to be eaten. Notice the house marking flips over. And the flipping over the house will then reinstate the suggestion above that maybe there is really no basis for the question. The Gemara says, La vitoisiv d'Rav Gidol bar Omarav. Is it not so that elsewhere in the Gemara, Rav Gidol Omarav was rejected? Now, Rav Gidol Amarav, just before, was presented as having said that a Zrikas Pigol is ineffective. But if you say that a Zrikas Pigol could be effective, then we can then reinstate the Maskif Lo Rav Papa approach that was mentioned before. So at this point in the Gemara, and really the Gemara ends at this point, as far as when we say ends, we're referring to the original question raised by Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak. It could very well be that there is really no basis for raising his question. Noticing the slash mark, that means that which follows is a new idea. So let us glance at the outside margin under our no say heading. She'elas Rav Yirmiya. Rav Yirmiya raises a question. Kifsei Atzeres Sheshachton Lishmon, the sheep of Shavuos, the shlomim that are brought on Shavuos, were shechted with a proper intention. V'acharkach ovad halechem, and then the bread was lost, the shtei alechem were lost. Mahu shiizrok domon shelo lishmon kidei lahatir habosor v'achila. Can I allow the zrikas hadam of the kifsei atzeres that were slaughtered? We must emphasize, when they were slaughtered, the bread was around. When I'm coming to do the Zrikas Hadam, the bread is no longer there. And we have established in previous Gemaras that when the slaughtering takes place on the Kifsei Atzeres and the bread is around, the Kifsei Atzeres are interlocked, so to speak, with the bread. What am I going to do now that the bread was lost? So the only hope for these Kifsei Atzeres would be if I do the sprinkling of the blood with a non-Kifsei Atzeres mindset. Because if you do the Zrikas Hadam with a Kifsei Atzeres mindset, and the bread is not there, so then you will have a problematic Kifsei Atzeres. So, and if we want to salvage something from this and enable the meat to be eaten, the only chance would be that if we can do the Zrikas Hadam with a non-Kivsei Atzeres mindset. Turning to the Gemara. Bominei Rabbi Yirmiyahu Omer Rabbi Zeira, Kivsei Atzeres, Sheshachton Lishmon. They were shechted with the Kivsei Atzeres mindset, the proper intention, and the bread was on the scene at this point. The Ovad Halechem, and now the bread got lost before the Zrika, before the sprinkling. Mahu Shiizroik Domon Shaloi Lishmon Lahatir Boser Bachilo. Can we allow the sprinkling of the blood to be done with an improper intention, an incorrect intention? The sprinkling would be done in this case as if it were being done for a shlomim, a regular shlomim korban. If we could allow this, even though we're essentially legitimatizing something improper, but if we can allow it, we'll be able to salvage the meat. Because if you were to do the Zrikas Hadam with the Kifsei Atzeres in mind, when the bread is now lacking, you would not enable the Kifsei Atzeres to be eaten. Let's glance at the Rashi. Mao Shizrok Domon Shelo Lishmon. Elo Lishem Shlomim, Lahatir Boser Bachila. When we say do it Shelo Lishmo, we're saying to do the Zrika Sadam of these Kifsei Atzeres, to do the Zrika with a Shlomim intention. Devadai Lishmon Lohav Zrika. If you were to do it with a Kifsei Atzeres in mind, that would not be a legitimate Zrika. Tamrin Liel, Hakomodim Shim Husku Zelozema Akvin Zeze. As the Gemara said earlier on Daf Mem Vav, that if they became bound to one another, the Kifsei Atzeres, with the breads, then one is binding on the other, and we won't have any allowance to be eaten if you have the Kifsei Atzeres mindset. So the question, if we rephrase it in general terms, can we give license to something being done incorrectly with the intention of salvaging something, in this case, the meat? As we look on in the Gemara, we have a new geometric form as far as our sugya is concerned. We see a volcano form. And if you skim ahead even a few lines, you'll notice how this form flips over time and time again. On the margin of the outside of the page, you'll notice Mivne. You notice the volcano form is there, the trapezoid, with the narrow part facing up. We are calling this a ma'akav, an attempt to keep track of the back and forth nature of the Gemara. So with the narrow part facing up, these are nisyonos lidchois habosis shel ha-she'ela, attempts to reject the basis of the question. We're going to try to show that there's no room for even raising this possibility. And there will be a flipping over of the volcano form, tshuvos. These will be attempts to show that there is room for raising the question. We will also employ a double underline. Dugmois shel dvarim she'enom k'sherim lishmoi u'k'sherim shelo lishmoi. We will show examples of things that are not acceptable if done with proper intention and are actually acceptable if you do it with a non-proper intention. We should mention that when we say non-proper and use that as a translation for lo lishma, we have to take this with a certain amount of reservation, as we will see in the Gemara. So after raising the question or the suggestion of having a zrikas hadam done shelo lishma in order to salvage the meat, the Gemara asks, Omar lei, Rabbi Zera asks Rav Yirmiya with a tone of wonderment, Yesh lecha davar she'eino kosher lishmoi, the kosher shelo lishmo? Could there be something that, if done lishmo, done with a specific, with proper intent, the result would be non-kosher? And if you do it with an improper intent, a non-lishmo intent, it will be kosher. Could that be? So to this, the Gemara says, well, what are you wondering about? V'loi, v'harei Pesach, koidem chatzois, de'eino kosher lishmo, v'kosher shelo lishmo. A korban Pesach on the 14th of Nisan, if you slaughter it prematurely, namely on the 14th of Nisan in the morning, before midday, before chatzos, and you shecht it, you slaughter it with a Korban Pesach mindset, it's not acceptable. However, if you shecht it with a non-Korban Pesach mindset at that early part of the day, if you, let us say, took the Korban, the animal designated as a Korban Pesach, and before Chatzos, before midday, you shechted it, you slaughtered it as if it were a shlomim, it's kosher. So why is Rabbi Zera wondering about the question? So the Gemara responds, Hochi Kwamina, thusly Rabbi Zera intends. Could it be that Yesh Lechodavar, Shenir E Lishmoi, could you have something that was available to be done properly? Not like the Pesach case we had in the morning. That was not near Elishmo. However, could you have something like our Kivsei Atzeres that were shechted with a Lishmo intention and only afterwards the bread got lost? But we're talking about something that was near Elishmo. These Kivsei Atzeres were fit to be done properly and they were shechted properly. V'nidche milishmo, at the point the bread got lost, that rendered it unfit to be done Lishmo. V'eino kosher lishmo. And if you were to continue doing the sprinkling of the blood with the lishmo intention, in fact, it would not be kosher. It would not result in allowance. V'kosher shelo lishmo. And if it were to be done with a shlomim intention, could it possibly, yes, be acceptable? So, if that is what's bothering Rabbi Zera, namely something that had been available to be done lishmo, how in the world could it be salvaged if you do it shelo lishmo? That shouldn't really bother him because of the following. Veloi, do we not have precedent for that? Vare, Pesach achar chatzos b'shar yemois hashana. Imagine you had a Korban Pesach and you had it around after Chatzos. After Chatzos is a point in time that it is available, that is, it is near Elishmo. It's available to be done with a proper mindset. And then you left it around till after Pesach. You left it B'Shari, Mos Hashanah, you left it around. The halacha is, it's still, if you do it on Shari Mos Hashanah with a Shlomim mindset, once again, we're dealing with something that had been around as a Korban Pesach after Chatzos, so it was near Elishmo. And then it simply wasn't slaughtered then, and you held it around till some other day. It can then be done Shelo Lishmo, and that's fine. So what's Rebbe Zera bothered by? Hachi ko amino. This is what Rebbe Zera means to say. This is what's bothering him. Yesh lecha davar shenira lishmoi v'nishchat lishmo. Could you possibly have something? Not only was it available to be done with a proper intent, but it was actually slaughtered with a proper intent, like our Kivsei Atzeres case. V'nidche milishmo, and then it got voided from continuing in its lishmo status as a result of the loss of the bread. The Eino Kosher Lishmo, and as we just said, it's no longer fit to be done as a Kivsei Atzeres because the bread is now lost. The Kosher Shelo Lishmo, and are you going to suggest that it could still be kosher? Namely, the meat can be eaten if you do it Shelo Lishmo. So to this, once again, the Gemara responds, V'lo, do you not have a precedent for that very case? V'harei Toida. This is presented in a very terse fashion, but Rashi fills in the missing information. If you look in the Rashi, three lines from the bottom, Barei Toida, the Amorim Bahai Pirkin, we said on Daf Mem Vav, Mishashachta, after the animal was slaughtered, Nifras Lachma, the bread broke. We said this by the case of a Korban Toda, which has 40 loaves that accompany it. If after the shechita, one of the loaves split, we say, Hadam Yizarek L'shem Shlomim. Look at that. You sprinkle the dam with something else in mind, with a Shlomim Korban in mind. V'abosar Yeochel V'yidei Nidro Lo Yotza. The meat can be eaten. However, the person bringing the Korban Toda has not fulfilled his vow because of this imperfection, the splitting of the bread prior to the Zrikas Adam. So too in our case of the Kivsei Atzeres that was shechted lishmo. True, the bread got lost. Ukshera shelo lishmo, just like we saw by the Toda. And when we say it's kosher shelo lishmo, the idea is that instead of shechting it as a toda, you're shechting it as a shlomim. And we said that that's okay. The Gemara rejects this as a precedent setter. Shiny toda. The case of the toda is different. Dirachmona karya shlomim. The Torah calls a toda by the term shlomim. The pasuk says, toidas shlomov. As a result of that, you don't really have a lo lishma scenario there in the case of the toda. Just to go over the case, you had an animal brought together with 40 loaves. One of the loaves split. The halacha there says that if the loaf split after the shechita, it was shechted as a toda. Go ahead and shecht it as a shlomim. But that is not a shechita shelo lishma. Therefore, there's no precedent for suggesting what Rav Yirmiyah is asking, where the Kivsei Atzeres were done lishmon, and now we should allow the Zrikas Adam to be done shelo lishmo in order to salvage the meat when you have something that was already shechted lishmo. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.